Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Joe. And Joe, you have handouts if people want them, more information. You can hit up Joe. And my mom, her name is Ann, and she loves nothing more than being referred to as Chris's mom. So, and I'm being serious. All right. So there is no, just get ready. All right, get ready. There's no five-minute break today. All right, that's why we started 5 minutes late. Not that we do that every Sunday. But since there's no music, we're going to go right into the world's greatest message. There, at any point, you want coffee, you can go in the back. There's hot cocoa. There's bathrooms in the back, and there's also bathrooms downstairs as well. And the balcony people, much love to you. All right, so big fan of balcony people. And then we're going to wrap up everything with taking communion together. It's going to be great. So, and as you can see, we have a whiteboard up here, which if you have social anxiety like myself, I get a little nervous around it because I'm like, what are you going to ask me to do? Because I always feel like I get picked when I'm so like, hey, you with the face, come up here. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to spell. So, and I really don't. I have, my dad's an English teacher and I can't write and I don't know how to spell. So, you can see that I made little logos to make sure all the markers work. So that's the extent of my art right there. But we're going to be doing a little community exercise today. And I need a volunteer to who can write. Does anyone, you're not going to get up right now, but like in 5 minutes, I need someone who can like write publicly. So is anyone here you'd like to? Okay. So just get work. Thank you for making me sound good and look good. So like Joanne said, it's been some weeks, right? With what happened in Renshaw, with Avery, and the tragedy that, if you didn't hear of a young girl who tragically died in a car accident. In a car accident. And it was horrible. We had a man of color that was hung from a tree at a university. We had political violence, assassination. So there's that. And there's all the other countless things that have happened in your life that you are carrying with grief. You're carrying with anger. And maybe it's like anger that you're trying to like put down and saying, no, a good person doesn't get angry. We have to just be calm, cool, and like Joyce Myers, calm, cool, and collected, right? And maybe it's just not working for you. And so you have all these feelings. I have all these feelings. If you are a person that is online or even terminally online, right? And depending on your influence, bias is a word we could use, your political persuasion, and your history, right, of where you came from in your theology, in your education, in culturally, in your family, is going to lead you to have some opinions. And if you're like me, you feel like I have opinions, and then you see how other people have opinions and how other people's opinions and those opinions clashing, and maybe you're like, I don't know what to say. Maybe you feel inclined, I should say something. Regardless of what it is, right? There's the obvious political violence just happened, and a lot of people have been sharing feelings, and there's been all these different ramifications. We have the stuff that happened with Jimmy Kimmel, right? And that is an important thing, but at the same time, we're talking about a late night host, and it represents so much something more. But there's all these things that are happening that I feel that are shifting and moving, and I feel anger, I feel scared, I feel guilty because I don't feel guilty enough. I have all these feelings. And as I was thinking about, like, well, I have to say something, right? Because in my head, it's like, well, I want to be an advocate for peace. I want to be a pastor that is engaging the community in a way that is like we're leading forward. And then it's like, well, what am I going to say? And I don't always know what to do. And I was listening to, or I was reading this, this physician, and he was sharing how there was a time where before social media that we all have inner dialogues. We all have a voice in our head. Some of you have voices in your head, right? And that's fine, right? It all works. And we don't know what to do with those at times. And before social media, what he said was you went to like your club, right? Or you have a secret handshake and you could say things that are in that room and stay in that room. right? Regardless of how healthy you are or whatever it might be, there's a place for you to say it. Because then you don't go to work and say it. You don't show up on like some street and say it. Or the best place to go is to like a mental health professional, a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist. And you say, here's what I'm feeling. And they can say, yeah, that's a very normal feeling for someone in their 40s. That is a very normal response with your level of trauma. This is a very healthy question, but let's find healthier ways of processing it. Now we have social media and people, like I have an inner voice, let's make it public, right? And we can laugh because we always think about someone else, right? And right now you're probably thinking of that person. And maybe you know them or they're a celebrity or they're a politician, but the truth is we do the same thing. And when we do that and we put our things that we don't fully process online and people respond to it, it's not responding to the comment. You feel like they're responding to me. And it's like, well, what are we supposed to do with that, right? There's all this feeling we have to do something more. How do we say what I say doesn't feel like it goes anywhere? And what do? We have community. It's what we need. You are here at Neighborhood Church or online Neighborhood Church, right? Big fans of you. Because either the coffee's good, because you've met someone and you like connecting with them, because you have a routine. Those are all valid reasons. Or maybe you're here because you just need to be around some other people who you feel like get you to some degree, and that's enough. And maybe you have some relationships, maybe you have some connection here, maybe you have some connection with other people where you show up and you're hoping to see them and you feel some sense of relief, hopefully some sort of belonging, and that's good because we're made for community. But here's the hard part, is often our community can fall into these places that are just exactly like us, right? Politically, right? Maybe the color of our skin, the way our family systems function, maybe the way that we tolerate these bad behaviors, but we don't tolerate these ones. And so you navigate to those people who tolerate the same things that you like to tolerate. And this is not inherently evil, but it's not always helpful. And then we can, in times of stress, then we can find like, well, I have to find a community that's better like me, that's more like me. And at times, maybe the best thing is to have a community where everybody is included. But here's the hard part, at least in my experience. I'm only 44 years old, and there's times where I feel I'm 44, and I feel like I'm 84, and I have no idea what it's like to be 84, but I'm like, I feel like I have some experience or trauma that I'm like, oh, I feel like I've seen this happen like 100 times. And there's times where I know I'm 44, and I went golfing with my 20-year-old yesterday, my son, and he hit the ball like 5,000 more yards than me. And I'm like, when did I become 84? Right? Right? So there's times I feel younger, I feel older. But here's what I learned. The places that I value the most is when we say everybody, it really means everybody. And it's times where I feel the most proud of not just being a pastor. I understand I am in a different place in this community since this is my job. I totally recognize the power balance and the meaning and all that. I would not be here if it wasn't for everybody. I wouldn't. In this place, I've been able to, the freedom I've had to be able to theologically evolve and shift as much as I've had as a pastor in their own church is not super common. The fact that there's so many different kinds of bodies in this church, people who are here and people who come in and out of our community, has made me a better person. As I've shared openly, I've been able to get sober in this community. I've raised my babies in this community. I had a kid who graduated in this community. There's been healing, there's been hard, there's been growth, and it's because of you. It's everybody. And it's in times like this, at least for me, I need a community of people. But community's messy. And this is usually why we try finding bodies that are just like us. And that's not bad. But sometimes it doesn't always help us the most either. Of places where everybody belongs, it counts. This is where we're going to do a little exercise, right? We are coming up on 10 years as a church in November. We're celebrating November 13th or 14th, whatever that Sunday is. And it's been a wild 10 years as a church. We started as Cloquet Vineyard, and we met in high school. And then we went to a gym. We went back to high school where we couldn't have coffee. We went to a storefront. Then COVID happened, which we didn't meet for like 16 months, a long time. And then we stumbled into this place. And you're going to be hearing lots and lots of stories about the 10 years. So I thought, what better way to do a series up until our celebration in November, talking about community, talking about everybody? Because we didn't get here by accident. We have such a beautiful, complicated story that's rich for some, that is really hard for others. Like, I'm not going to pretend like we have this perfect history and we've made every right decision. We haven't, right? But community really matters. So, if you wouldn't mind coming up, Maria, and we have some markers and my coffee. I forgot about you. I love you. I want to dream a little bit, right? When you think about community, in the sense, it can be your friend group, it could be your family, it could be your extended family, it could be your, if you enjoy your job, it could be a place of employment, right? It could be this church, or it could be this imaginary church in your head, whatever it might be. When you think of a flourishing community, what things are happening in that community, or maybe values, or maybe feelings, right? I want to, and you can say them out. And then, I don't know why I got four. I am a person habitually like giving people options, and my wife doesn't like it because I'm like, where do you want to eat? And she's like, let's go to blah, blah. I'm like, how about these 18 places? So that's why you got four markers. All right, so when you think about a community and those who are online, you can yell through your computer if you'd like, that if that makes you feel better, right? When you think of what things happen in a community, or their values or feelings that make it flourishing. Who'd like to start? No, I just want to make sure the markers work. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no rules, right? This is anarchy on whiteboard, okay? You're like punk rock. Reciprocity. What do you mean by that? Yeah. Give and take. All right. I like that word. All right. So a value of that as you are investing in something, you're also being invested into as well. That's great. Nice job. Okay. See, that's why I'm not writing. I've been like, reciprocity. Wonderful handwriting. Yeah, I agree. Okay. What else? In a healthy, flourishing community, what are the things that are happening? Ooh, good word. Fans of each other, and they show up. Okay. Top shelf. Encouragement. What does that mean to you? Believe in each other. So encouragement and a believement in each other. I like that. Okay. Safety, where one can be their self. Okay. That's important. Oh, we need more people up on the board. Thank you, Rhea. What else? Growth? In what? What do you mean by that? Okay, so grow as a human, like collectively together. Okay, I like that. What else? Action. What do you mean by that? Ooh. Dinah, it's almost like you and I talked before my message, all right? It's like, you guys, that's just like, I'm going to slip you some money later, right? It's true, right? I love about this community is that we do a lot of thinking, we do a lot of talking, but we have people in this community who are doing it, and doing it in, like, ways you're getting paid, ways that no one's ever going to know, and I see it. So, yes, community that is action. We're doing the stuff. Okay? What else? Friendship? Do you want to spell that out for me a little bit? I agree. So a place where friendships and relationships can be fostered, encouraged, and grow. Yeah, I agree. And then I'm processing, and I was told never to process on a microphone, but like, it's true, right? But I also like, I love the idea of friendship, but as more of an introvert and someone with social anxiety, and I say this because I know there's other people here who have social anxiety. I want to be a part of a community where friendship is available and encouraged, but also not forced. Because I've been in communities like where it's like, each one, reach one, and we're supposed to go out and make five friends, invite them to church, and that's just exhaust. I like authentic friendships. That's a great, I would not have thought about that. Thank you for sharing. Oh, okay. You like that better. I like, it's like my PR manager back here. We're going to spin that to make it sound better. All right. A couple more. Anyone else? Respect. Okay. Do you want to spell that out for, not spell it, but you want to, what does that look like for you? Wow. That is great. I want to talk about that for like a half hour. Yeah. Respect. That you can be at different places and still value the humanity in one another, which is hard. Yeah. And usually it's hard because people have done that to us, so we feel like we want to do it to others. Yeah. Love and tolerance is our code. Okay, from the big book. All right. I love that. Anyone else? Sarah, are you formulating a thought? Okay. Non-judgmental. Okay, what would that be? Put that in a word of, instead of it being non, put it in a... I love that. Expect and believe that everyone's trying their best or doing their best. Okay? So non-judgmental. I like that. Yeah? Honor culture. It is, except there's a, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you guys know what I'm saying? Honor culture also came out of the Bethel movement. Honor code, was that what it's called? No. It was toxic. Yeah. Thanks for bringing up, Diana. Totally. Yes. I'll keep my traumatic commentary to myself. I like, there's a group of us who got there like, oh my gosh, Bethel, right? Which was like with good intentions, but it just came back down to patriarchy, really. It came back down to fall in line. Honoring is centering power. And that's a different, we can do it better. Anyone else? When you think of a flourishing community. Okay, what is it? Anticipating needs. I love that. I like that word, attunement. I couldn't spell it. I do A-T-O-O-N. Anyone else? Good word. I like this. This is great. Anyone else want to share what we'd look for in a flourishing community? Yeah. Listening and seeing. Okay. That's good. I like the... That's great. Okay, anyone else? I for me, that's really important to me, and it's beyond just the being inclusive. Wraps up, it fits into all these as well. Of that, this is a place where you can find belonging, not based on checking the box or saying these words. Okay. Anyone else? Give a round of applause for the best handwriting. Now, it would have been a flex if you would have done it all in cursive. That would have been, I can do it. Hold on. Or did it like in like multiple different languages, just looking at it like, all right, guys. I want to learn another language just so I can do that. That's going to be, why did you learn this language? So I could flex on people. So, which is a great way to talk about community. I actually have a slide for this, all right? And so here is what I want you to think about. As you look at this list, and there's things that are on here that you might like, there's things that might be missing. When you look at this list of, like, we're big fans of each other, safety, inclusivity, believing everyone's doing their best, and you don't have to say it unless you really want to, without yelling it out loud, on this list of things, what are the things that come really natural to you? What are the things that you feel like are just always in your back pocket? And equally, what things feel incredibly difficult? Or you feel like you have to flex, you have to work hard at. Like for me, yeah, gosh, I got a lot on here that I'm not going to say about myself. All right? But the reason I put this up here is we talk about everybody, is that as we're coming for 10 years, we're going to be talking a lot about where we came from, but we're also going to be dreaming about where we're going. Which I think is really, really important as a spiritual community, any kind of gathering of people. And I don't think we always do this enough of, like, even, like, maybe with your family or your groups of friends. We do this maybe in business a little bit. We have to get, like, our, what do you call them, KPs and all that stuff. But, like, where are we going as a family? Where are we going as a couple? Where are we going as a group of friends? Where are we going as a church? And do we know how to get there on purpose? And I feel like a lot of people, they don't always know. It's like we kind of just like go through our daily rhythms and we take care of the things we need to and we manage our bills and expectations and our relationships. But is there like a sense of purpose? And for me, one of our values here at, almost the wrong name of our church, of Neighborhood, right? It's why I can't bring up past names because then I get stuck. Is one of our values is that we want to do things with purpose and on purpose, always. And part of dreaming who we are going to be is thinking, well, how do we do it on purpose? And this is the kind of community that we want to do. But here's the dirty little secret I've learned from doing this long enough. We all want a healthy, flourishing community. And we look at that list, we're like, yeah, we should get some people to do those things. Right? Like when it comes to the dinner party, you're like, man, I sure wish someone would throw a dinner party. I'd love to go hang out with some friends and have them cook for me and clean the house and actually clean the toilet, right? And then, like, find a toilet brush to clean the toilet. And I, you know, all the things we want someone else to do. I wish my friends would plan a weekend away. I wish there was a family reunion. I wish our church would blah, 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 right? And that's not bad. That's healthy. That's a way of saying that you have dreams. There's things you want. But we want other people to do them. We want our politicians to solve the problems in our schools. We want the police to take care of, like, the homeless encampment. It's like, well, we don't want the police to do too much, but we want to do something because I don't like driving by it. Right? There's a very human thing. We want other people to do the things that we want to be the beneficiaries of. What I've learned is if we want a healthy, robust community, it has to be something we do, that we are. And lucky for us, there is this wild, crazy book that makes not a lot of sense at times called the Book of James. And this is what we're going to be talking about for the next 7-8 weeks. Because James is this book that feels very true to us as our community. James is a book that should not really have belonged. It didn't belong for a long time. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And it got left out and people didn't really believe in it. Martin Luther is famous for saying it's a book like kind of made out of straw. A letter made out of straw. It doesn't hold a lot of value. And I'm like, man, that feels like Neighborhood. It's a book that talks about community. And for like the next 10 minutes, I'm going to talk a little bit about the dangers or what people thought the dangers of James were. And then we're going to talk about like what I see as the positives that we're going to be doing some deep study into. And then we're going to end with communion with one another. Because if there's anything that can tie us together about everybody, I believe communion is that one of those sacraments that help us do it. So the Book of James is this wild book. Now, it's not written, well, we think, when I say, you see how I can put we as like I'm a part of that community, all right? Biblical scholars, we obviously think it's not like the disciple James. Like if you read the disciples, it's probably not them because they died like in the 40s, not 1940s, like the original 40s, the OG 40s, right? And they think it's one of two groups of people. It's either the brother of Jesus. If you didn't know, Jesus had a brother. He had a couple siblings, right? And he comes on the scene like after death, resurrection, and there's this guy named James in the book of Acts. They think it could be him. And other scholars believe that's probably a group of people using the name of James. And why is this important? Because if you, at one point in your life, were Bible says it, I believe it kind of person, or you know someone like that, and that is a way of thinking, well, then if the Bible says it, I believe it, we have to understand why the Bible says it and who said it in the Bible. Because just put your hand on your heart if you need it. God did not write the Bible. Wah, wah, kind of give away the ending, all right? So God didn't have his hand around James. He didn't, like, Ghost, the movie Ghost, the pottery scene, all right? God isn't doing that, right? Like if a community of people wrote something, why does it matter? If the book of Philemon, I went to seminary, right? Paul didn't write that. It's more than likely a group of people who wrote that letter, and why? Because they put things in there like, hey, older women don't gossip with the younger women. If we believe this to be true, who benefits the most? Right? Men. Right? Hey, don't tell secrets. Don't tell on us. Right? So if you make that a part of the Bible, and then the men can say, hey, you shouldn't be spreading rumors. It's in the Bible. Right? Then it says that enslaved people, treat your masters with kindness, and this is how you honor the Lord. If we believe this to be true, who benefits the most? Not enslaved people. Right? So you could see how a community of people might have wrote some house codes in this book that we put in the Bible as a way to have some political outcomes. You think the Bible's political? Yeah, everything's political. Political just means you want to shape, influence, and ideas. That's not bad. That's to be human. And the Bible's incredibly human because God is a big fan of humans, right? So it doesn't mean it's bad, but it might give us some better understanding as we engage with the Bible. The book of James has a political end game. It does. And the people who, like, got to include the Bible, like, what letters, epistles, and gospels, you guys know that there's a lot of gospels that didn't get included in the gospels? Do you know there's a lot of epistles, letters that people wrote? My favorite is St. Thecla. Do you know why her letter didn't get in there? Let me guess. I already used a pronoun, right? God gave it away, right? She wasn't born the right way. And if you have not read St. Thecla, Google it. It is powerful. It's a powerful story about a woman who doesn't need a man, right? Ugh, it's so good. It's like Frozen, but like ancient, right? where am I going with this? I'm on St. Thecla. Oh, and so James wasn't included because they felt like it was too Jewish, to be quite honest. That's what they said. Because James, in the book of James, he doesn't say, like, death and resurrection of Jesus. One commentary I read said, like, the message of Christ is so ingrained in James and the way he writes, he doesn't always have to specifically mention and say, oh, here's this idea about Jesus. And, like, the fact that some people feel like the book was too Jewish is actually really good news, because you know who else is a Jewish? Jesus, all right? A famous rabbi, right? And there's a group of people that found this teaching of this rabbi to be life-giving, and so they moved with it. They moved towards it. And so it became, to some people, problematic and then also, someone like Martin Luther said, and this is many years later, but he said, like, it's kind of anti-Paul. And in the New Testament, a lot of it's written by Paul. Paul, you can like him, love him, and you don't even have to like him. And you can be a Christian and not be a big Paul fan. It's allowed, all right? And so he thought James was like the opposite of Paul, because Paul and Luther had this big revelation of, like, we can find salvation and connection with God without the help of the church or the priests. Like, we can read the Bible for ourselves, essentially, right? And what James essentially says is, in the very beginning, he says, faith without works is dead. And so if you're a person that's like, well, no, we need faith, and you hear someone's like, well, faith is good, but what you really need is works, some people feel like, oh, those are combating thoughts. And they're really not. And so James wasn't included in this original canon, and neither was the book of Revelation. And if you were like me and you read the book of Revelation when you were like 9, don't recommend it, right? Scared me, because it's a weird book. You know why Revelation wasn't included in original canon? Because it's a weird book, right? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And so there's these letters that got left out, and they got put back in, like, in the 4th century and approved and all that. Some people believe it was like a handshake deal of, like, hey, we'll put Revelation in, you throw James in, and we got a deal. It's like a used car salesman, right? And it all wraps up, and we have this book, but we have to understand that with it comes a history, with it comes some context, And it was kind of controversial. But here's why we're using the book. Because I like the controversy. I really do. Because it's human, right? And I love, one of the reasons I love the Bible is how human it is. I used to be in this place of like, it is, and I believe it's the Word of God, but the Word of God is no different than what you read in the big book. That's the Word of God. When you are singing your favorite Beyonce song, right? That's the Word of God. The Word of God is in the sound of the birds you're watching in your backyard and you're hearing them, right? The Word of God is what brings and elicits love. Oh, I love that, right? But here's why we're using the book of James. James says, this is to my Jewish friends who are in this like wild space of this empire. This is like what I love about it, and this is also problematic, is the way you read James matters, and the way you think about God matters, and the way we read the Bible matters. Because if you're not in touch with your bias, your privilege, or what we call social location, social identity, big terms, you can read it. Let's use me as example, right? I have privilege all the way around as being a middle-aged white man who plays golf and a killer eyes, right? So if I read James, there's a lot of things I can read about it and affirm for myself, right? Bible, that James is not written directly to me. James was written as an anti-empire letter. Actually, the whole Bible is, right? Written by marginalized people for marginalized people. And we can gain some wisdom from reading this Bible. But what James has been used for is to silence women for generations. What James has been used for is to put queer people back in the closet for generations, right? It's to shame people and get them belonging because they can say, look at this Bible, and they can quote, because James is written with all, like a homily or what do we call them? Sermons, messages, right? It's meant to be like little truth nuggets that you can get like a mantra or like a saying from that you can get. Like faith without works is dead is a great banger. Cool, it's a tattoo, right? It could be. And it's meant to like inspire inspiration and wisdom. But if you don't understand the context, that it's written to people who were working on farms to make other people money, but also being taxed themselves quite hard. It's written to people who were enslaved. It's written to people who were like, didn't make enough money to be with the beautiful people, not too far down here, but somewhere in the middle that were caught in like this exploitation kind of system that they could never get out of. That's who it was written to. People who were trying to get through the day, trying to take care of the people they love, but feeling this oppression and the heavy hand of empire over and over and over. And what James is trying to do is saying, who you are matters. What you do matters. It might not push back the empire all the way. It might not get celebrated. It might make this money, but who you are. James talks about this way of how we can find healing and through like coming together and talking and praying and being honest and being vulnerable. He's offering like real life solutions to this idea of this kingdom of God is not when you die, you go somewhere else. He's saying this kingdom of God is right here. If we're willing to own it and experience it, embody and extend it, it's meant to give hope in everyday life of what they're doing because community matters. It's messy. And James, just through a couple of chapters, walks us through all these different scenarios of how we can really be the church. There's something I learned from a person that I'm not the biggest fan of, but multiple things can be true at the same time, right? And one thing that I learned is they would often say of, well, who's the church? And everyone say, we're the church. And I used to roll my eyes. I'm like, all right, here we go. But it stuck with me. Because the church is not just me, the pastor. The church isn't just like the people who are like helping out, volunteering, doing those things. Like by you being here, you are the church. And who we are is strong. And who we are is messy. And who we are is nuanced. And who we have so much potential in this room to continue to do good. So as we go through this book of James for the next several weeks, there's two things I'm going to encourage you to do. First one is this. Read the book of James. And if the Bible is problematic or triggering, you are in excellent company. So if that's you and you're like, I just don't want to read the Bible, it's fine. If you do, I'd encourage you to read the Message translation. We have a lot of Bibles. And I haven't said this for a long time, but you can steal from the church as much as you want, as long as it's the Bible. All right, or pens. You can see those too. And one thing I learned from this wild thing called the internet is you can use ChatGPT, right? Even that is a political statement. But I saw someone like they put on, tell me, it was some book of the Bible, as if we were having coffee and you were gossiping about the book of Mark. And I'm like, that's hilarious. So I tried it. It was spilled the tea about Mark, let me tell you, all right? So there's so many different ways that you can like just get an idea of what James is if you're curious. Second thing, before we take communion, what are your dreams for this church specifically? You give dreams for you, and you give dreams for your profession, and dreams for your family. But you are here for some reason. There's something that's drawing you here to this community. And some of you have been here. You've been here since the beginning, right? Joanna. Other people. Yeah. Ugh. It's a long story. It's been a ride. And I'm very proud to be this pastor, but I also have dreams. I want to hear your dreams. But here's the thing. As we dream of the things that can make a community, what are the dreams that we're willing to do together? Because it's great to say, wouldn't it be so great if we could have a statue of Jake out front because he's tall and dreamy? He's like, leave me alone. I don't like attention. All right. So, right, we can have all these ideas. But what are your dreams that you're willing to, like, give to? Your energy, your time, and your money, right? Because I have dreams. I'm an old youth pastor, right? And I believe in the work of student ministries. I really do. I think it's a sacred thing. We have places for you, adults. We have places for kids. Teens, students need a place where they can be weird. They can spill things everywhere. And there's a place, even accidentally, they show up to of where they can say, I'm scared, right? Student ministries is a place like that. I have a lot of dreams. We can do them together. A great place to start as we dream about the next 10 years is, what are you interested in? What is it that you would like to see? And it could be, I would love a small group that focuses on skateboarding, right? I would love to have a book club. I would love to have a running group. I would love to have a ministry. Like Joanne does a lot of work in advocating for immigrants in our communities, right? Like there's things that are happening, maybe you're already doing things, and the community just doesn't know. There's so many dreams in this room. I'd love to hear them. You can put them in the box in the back, write them down on this thing called paper and pen, right? You can, my business card is on the back, has my email and my number. You can text me and call me. You can DM me on social media, or you can email us at dreams@neighborhoodchurchmn.org. You're welcome, right? I came up with that one. I'm like, how hard is it to get an email? Not hard, right? The whole point is I'd love to hear your dreams. So at the 10-year celebration, one of my goals is that we're presenting to our community, for the next 10 years, here's some of the things that we're building towards. And I would love it to be, I only want to do it collectively. It doesn't help for me just to get up and say, here's where we're going. That's not the kind of community that we're going to be. I want to do the things with you because I'm here because of you. And we're here because of all of us. So what I want to do then, so read James, communicate your dreams, and let's do some communion. Communion is something, I got to count how many, this should be enough. All right. If you want to take one and just pass it around. Communion, we have been participating in this for thousands of years as the saints, as the body of Christ, as the church. I got extra large pieces of body of Christ. Yeah, when I started getting the crackers together, they were all really tiny. Then I started visualizing people having to like dig their dirty hands in it. And as a germaphobe myself, I'm like, oh no, Christ can be so much larger. And I did. It's true, right? Oh, balcony people, thank you for coming down, right? You guys have names, but balcony people sounds better. We've been doing this for thousands of years, not just because it's a way to kill time and end a service, right? It's a way of practicing using our body and our senses, all of it, and as a community, passing around, handing it to one another, and then hearing each other chew, right? and people squeezing the glass a little too hard and it's cracking, right? And then you're going to hear someone say, like, what do we do with these? Like, all of it, right, is a normal, sacred thing because it's something we're doing as a body. And Jesus didn't just die on this cross to some party trick. Jesus was brutally murdered. Jesus was executed publicly for choosing the way of love, for choosing the way of peace instead of violence. Jesus goes to the cross with love and nonviolent resistance. Jesus died not just so that someday we could get to heaven, but so that heaven could be in us right now. And so we take the cracker and the juice as a representation of the body and the blood of Christ. Because that body mattered, the body of Christ, and the way it was brutalized and killed matters as well. But it speaks to the scars that we carry, that you use your body to birth and raise that doctoral student of yours, right? You use your body to read your kids' stories. You use your bodies to bring hope and peace, to study for your math exam. You use your body to choose not to yell at your dog even though you want to. You use your body to dream of that novel you someday write. We use our bodies to do good. We use our bodies to do evil. And we come together and declare again that the body of Christ is enough, of love, of peace, of nonviolence, of inclusion, anticipating needs of respect, of being authentic, of providing safety, Christ embodied and extended to us. And we worship and remember and declare and process by doing it together. So I'm going to pray. Then we can take together. Yeah, hold on, Dana. She's ready to eat. Right? She's like, I got this extra large cracker. So let's pray. So God, we love you. And thank you that everybody really does matter. And everybody is included, and everybody and every story. And the grief and the scars and the joy and the successes and the failures and everything in between, it all matters. Because you are in all things. And it's because of your love, it's because of your demonstration that we get to stand here today and declare that we are good and beautiful, because you're good and beautiful. And as a community, as a group of friends, as a group of neighborhood church, we want to continue to be a place where everybody can be worship, can worship and be celebrated. So continue to give us the dreams, God, so we continue to do good, and we love you. Amen. Let's eat of the body of Christ. All right. Well, thank you, friends, for being in this space. If you'd like to process some dreams, or you have things you just need to, like I mentioned, it's maybe been a couple weeks. You just need someone to talk to, process, maybe pray with. Or maybe you have those inner dialogues you need to say to someone. I am a professional, right? We can do that. Or anything else I can do to help. Thank you for being here at Neighborhood this weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you at Chubb Lake next Sunday.
Just letting everybody know, if you have any questions about the Peace Hero Awards, I'm Diana. Come talk to me. We're looking for volunteers. Also, it is one of the most fun nights of the year for students, for the whole community. So if you just want to know more about it, we are looking for you. And just come say hi to me. Love to meet you.